his idea for his diagnosis. He's not telling you not to do that to punish you. He's telling you not to do that because that is bad for you. It's bad for your health, bad for your wealth, bad for your family, bad for your children, and bad for your hereafter. So if Allah forbids you from doing something, it's for your own good. Allah is not going to benefit of your obedience. If you obey or not, it's not going to increase the power of Allah. Allahu bani an ta'ati al-ibad. وَمَعْطِيَةُ الْعِبَادِ لَا تَدُرُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. If you disobey him, he's not going to be harmed by your disobedience. And if you obey him, he's not going to realize more gain. It's for your own good. So they fear from the punishment of Allah. And what do they do again? But here, fearing from the punishment of Allah is one side of it, which will keep us away from doing things which are forbidden. But we know that we are human. And the son of Adam is sinful. We are never going to be sinless. So we're going to do sin out of our humanity. But sin and sin, they are different. There is a sin where a person is intending to sin 100 years from now. He says, I'm going to take all of my money to go to therefore to this place and buy this wine and do this thing. He's planning ahead of time, years in advance to sin. And there's a person walking and for some reason he does something to sin. Out of the human nature. So we do not lose hope. We do not think that Allah is going to, we're going to do. This is the hope and the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah encompasses everything. And His mercy encompasses His anger. As He says, the mercy of Allah more than the punishment of Allah. Therefore in the hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ, he saw a man amongst a lot of women. And this woman took after her child after she did not locate her child. When she saw the child, took after him, got that child and started nursing him. Right before everybody. But usually the women, they do not do that in front of everybody, they cover up. But she was so much longing for her child, trying to feed her child, she forgot. The Prophet ﷺ looked to his companions and he said, do you think this woman will throw her child in the hellfire? They said, no. He said, Allah is more merciful to you than this woman to her child. Allah is more merciful to you than this woman to her child. So we sin, but we hope for the mercy of Allah. And that's what will keep our heart in equilibrium. Some people, they think of mercy. Let us do whatever we do and Allah will mercy us and forgive us. This is their idea. Allah will mercy us. Allah will forgive us. With the mercy of Allah, you have to seek it. Allah will not give you the mercy if you do not seek it. You have to put things forth for you to earn the mercy of Allah, for Allah to bestow upon you His mercy. Some people think they're going to enter paradise on their own terms. This is a wild idea. This is an idea among the Muslims. They say, we do this and this and that, and this is enough. We don't want to do anything more. That's it for us. It's enough. We pray, we fast, and that's it. They want to enter paradise on their own terms. Entering paradise is on the terms of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Therefore, you have to have the fear, and you have to have the hope. And both of them are like the wings of your heart. If the wings are strong, your heart will fly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the wings are broken, you're going to fall on the wing. Because if you only afraid from Allah, if you do a sin, you're going to fall into despair. Say, khalas. I'm sinful, Allah is not going to forgive me. So what does it matter if I obey or not? It does not make a difference. And some people, they reach that level. but we have to have both of them together for us to move on forward. So that is, what does it mean to have tawheed? It means to have the fear, and it means to have the hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And by worshipping Allah, we're not going to gain any divinity. Because the best of the messengers, they are worshipping Allah in the same way that you are worshipping Him. There's no people worship Allah this way and those people worship Allah this way. Allah told everybody has to worship Allah with fear and hope. Secondly, he brought the ayah where it says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينِ وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Ibrahim said to his father and to his people, I am afraid of what you are worshipping. Except the one who created me, he will guide me. And that he made a statement among his offspring. The author brought this ayah to show us that tawheed, for tawheed to be correct in our heart, it has to have affirmation and negation. Affirmation and negation. Therefore, Ibrahim said to his father and to the people, to the open, I am afraid from everything that you are worshipping. I am afraid from the idol. I am afraid from the stone. I am afraid from everything that you are worshipping, but I am not afraid from Allah. I am not afraid from the one who created me. And the reason why he said the one he created is to remind the people that those stones do not create anything. One. And to remind the people that the one who creates is the one who is worthy of worship. And here it has affirmation and negation. He affirmed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship and negated any other deities from being worthy of worship. Therefore, if somebody says, I worship Allah and I worship the statue, does that make him a believer? No. Because he did not negate. If somebody says, I worship Allah, I'm not going to worship anything else, but those who worship anything, they are good in their practices. That's a believer because he did not negate. But the one who say, I worship Allah, and Allah is the only deity worthy of worship, nothing else worthy of worship, is the one who is establishing tawheed. The third ayah that he brought in this chapter, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. They made out of their rabbis and priests Lord with Allah. And Isa, they made out of Isa a Lord. Even though they were ordained to worship one guy, there's no deity worthy of worship except Him. Glory be to Him from the association. So here again, obeying Allah, establishing tawheed to Allah, it means to obey Allah. Establishing tawheed to Allah, this is the third meaning, it means to obey Him. That is the implication of the implication of worshipping Allah is to obey Him. But those people, they took the priest and rabbi as deity to be obeyed. Whatever the priest and the rabbi said, they obeyed it. So if the priest said something which is haram, made it halal, they obeyed. If they made something haram, halal, they obeyed, and vice versa. In essence, they made the priest and the rabbi the authority to legislate. But the authority to legislate is invested only in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore, part of our establishing tawheed to Allah Azza wa Jal is to limit our obedience to Him. We can obey each other, as long as this obedience is subordinate to obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. If you tell the person pray, fast, do this, do not do that, as long as something within Islam, we obey. But if somebody tells you, go kill this person, go kill this person, you cannot obey that, because killing a person is sin. If somebody tells you, go drink alcohol, you do not obey him, even if that person was a human or was a shaitan. Because the shaitan ordained him, and he tells you, go do this, go do that. He tries to tell you everything to deviate you from obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. If we obey the shaitan, we are going to be making some type of obeying the shaitan at the expense of obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what the ulama call shirk al-ta'ah. Shirk al-ta'ah. The shirk that is related to obedience. Because obedience should be to Allah. If you make somebody an authority to legislate for you, that means you took this authority as a partner to Allah. But this shirk is not like what we have talked about. This shirk does not make a person a mushrik, a disbeliever, unless he thinks this authority is worthy of legislating. But if a person obeys this authority out of following the desire, out of temptation, he is sinful. Is this point understood, inshaAllah? So part of Tawheed now means things. It means to us to fear Allah and to hope for His mercy. It means to us to affirm that Allah is worthy of worship and negate anything else. And it means to us to ascribe oneness to Allah as the authority to be obeyed. And also Tawheed means what the second ayah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Some people, they take equivalency with Allah, they love those equivalency as much as they love Allah. But the believers, they love Allah the most. Loving Allah, ya akhwan, is an act of worship. Just like you pray as an act of worship, loving Allah in your heart is an act of worship. Therefore, love is not the key. There's different types of love. Love out of naturalistic reason. You love your house. You love your children. This is naturalistic love. When you love your child, you do not worship your child. When you love your belonging, you do not worship your belonging. This is called naturalistic love. And also there is love for the sake of Allah. You love a person because he's a Muslim. You love a person because he's obedient to Allah. And even this type of love does not mean you are worshipping this person. Because this love has reasons for it to exist. Therefore, your child, your own child, if he harass you long enough, you might hate him after a while. Your own child. And your love to your child is governed by your love to Allah. Therefore, loving Allah is an act of worship, because Allah is the only deity worthy of worship per se. Everything is love for reason. But Allah is love for Himself, because He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of love, regardless. And everything He does to you is good. Everything. But not everything that people do to you is good. Therefore, if they do good to you, you love them. If they do not do good to you, your emotion changes. This is natural. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum salam, أحبب حبيبك هون الماء عسى أن يكون ضغيظك يوم الماء أضرب ضغيظك هون الماء عسى أن يكون حبيبك يوم الماء. The prophet said, if you love somebody, love him with ease. You might search your enemy one time. And if you hate somebody, hate him with ease. He might be your lover. You might love him one day. Because your love is conditional on how people are acting with you. But your love for Allah is continual. Because Allah is always doing good to you, even if He gives you the best difficult of situations. Because this is good. Allah is expiating your sin. Allah is testing you. And so on and so forth. Allah is testing you. When we get sick, and we are in the agony of sickness, that is good. Because when we get sick, all our sins will be erased. And Allah is testing our patience. If we are patient, Allah will make us more high in the hierarchy of the pious. Not the hierarchy of the rich, but in the ladder of the pious. So love to Allah Azza wa Jal is an act of worship. And those who believe, they love Allah. You cannot separate believing in Allah from loving Allah. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make this love as a measurement on how much faith we have in our heart. The more faith we have in our heart, that means we have to have more love to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the more we have love to Allah Azza wa Jal, how can we prove that? By following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So very simple, but it's very precise. We believe in Allah, we have to love Him. If we love Allah, we have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Steps that are very clear, very obvious, and it puts on us the obligation to behave in a certain way. Otherwise, as they say, وَالدَّعَوْا مَا لَمْ تُقِيمُ عَلَيْهَا بَيِّنَاتٍ أَبْنَاؤُهَا أَدْعِيَاءُ. The claims that you make without any support, they are false claims. If somebody says, I can jump and touch the ceiling, say, okay, do it. If he cannot, that means his claim is false. Somebody says, I can do that on the street. You say, okay, this is floor and this is here is floor. There's no difference. Do not tell me I obey Allah in this town, but I do not obey Allah in this town. Do not tell me I pray when I am overseas, but I come here in different situations. All that is the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when we are claiming, and alhamdulillah, insha'Allah, we are sincere in our saying that we believe in Allah, we have to love Allah. If we love Allah, we have to obey and follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, loving Allah is also related to education. لِأَنَّ مَحَبَّةَ الشَّيْءِ فَرْعٌ عَنِ الشُّعُورِ بِهِ فَكُلَّمَا كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ مُتَعَرِّفًا عَلَى رَبِّهِ كُلَّمَا كَانَ أَعْمَقَ بِشُعُورِهِ بِرَبِّهِ فَتَوَلَّدَ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ عِنْدَهُ مَحَبَّةَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The more you know Allah, the more you're going to love Him. And how you can know Allah? By knowing His names and attributes, by reading His book, by looking in His creation, you get to know Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's upon us to get to know Allah more and more. As it says, Allah has 99 names. Whoever collects those names will enter paradise. So when we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, we love Him more, and that love according to Allah Azza wa Jal will put on us the duty to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So part of establishing Tawheed is to love Allah. And then it says, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَكَفَرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ حَرُمَ مَالُهُ وَدَمُهُ وَحِسَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And this hadith is very important. Whoever says La ilaha illallah and disbelieve in anything that is worshipped other than Allah, then this person gets immunity for his blood and for his money, and Allah will punish him. So when people come in Islam and they believe in Allah and they believe in other deities, then this person is protected. Cannot go and persecute this person, take his money, take his blood. He is protected. Unless he does a crime that warns one of those. If he kills another person, then the punishment of that for him to be killed. And so on and so forth. So having said that, we have finished this chapter, alhamdulillah. And if you have any questions, we'll try to answer them in the next 10 to 15 minutes, inshaAllah, or 10 minutes.
Before the Sultan went to Mecca, he had long hair. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And because he said the custom was that time, he had long hair. How about how he compared this time now with people in the custom now and his religion to shave their hair? Is it something new? Do you need to take a carpet or you go with the custom?
MashaAllah, that is a very nice question, says Allah. So answer to that, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to follow the customs of the people. So when you go to people, and the custom of them too, they have regular haircut. Sure. The custom is to follow the people so you do not look sick out. As long as this custom has nothing to tell us it's haram in Islam. So if the custom of the people for the man to shave one half of his head and leave the other half, we say this is not acceptable in Islam. So whatever custom people become accustomed to, as long as this custom is not against Islam, we can practice it. So we go to Arabia, the custom is to put the ghusl. That could be practiced, that's how. You go to Syria, the custom also to put a ghusl that has some color on it. It's not haram. But if we go to a country and the custom is for the man to go out in short, say we cannot follow this custom. If the custom is when somebody dies, the woman has to go into the state of ihda, mourning, for 6 months. They say this custom is not on board because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's not befitting for a believing woman in Allah and His Messenger to go into the state of ihdad, mourning. Can you mourn? Huh?
Mourn.
What is it?
Mourn when people cry.
Mourning. M-O-N. Like the morning?
No. Like the morning, but for all of you.
Morning.
Morning.
Morning. That morning space, morning time, is not to exceed 3 days unless she is doing the morning for her husband, then 4 months and 10 days. Well, if a custom of a city say we have to do it for 6 months, we say this custom is not our fault. So whatever custom does not have anything that against Islam, we can follow that because we do not want to stick out. But any custom that is against Islam, it's obligated. I will not go to follow it. And we're going to take out by not following, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "Tuba lil ghuraba." Good death to those who are strangers. Now, if you go to a lot of Muslim countries, if you practice the Sunnah, you're going to stick out. But stop stick out, because now you are strange on the Sunnah. Even though you are strange to the people, but you are familiar with the Prophet. You are strange to the people, but you are familiar with the Prophet. And so what do those type of strangers? Thank you.
This morning said that you can shoot in part 3 days.
Any person that dies only should not go into the mourning more than 3 days, except for her husband who died 4 months and 10 days.
واحد.
لا مش شيء واحد، مدة الإحداث تماثل مدة العدة. المتوفى على زوجة.
لا
مش شرط البكاء، ولكن لا تتزين ولا تتقصد ولا تفتحل ولا تتعصب ولا تلبس الموشر. الألوان المتداخلة. The question is the woman when she goes on her adda. The adda meaning where she is waiting a period of time before she getting married. Is that similar to or the same as the mourning or not? Okay, they're not the same. They're two different things. In that period, she does not have to be crying. Or maybe she's happy that her husband died. Internally. But nevertheless, she's not permitted for her to wear perfume, not permitted for her to wear henna. No, she can go outside but with limitation. She goes outside if it's a necessity. She goes outside for a need, but she goes outside for a necessity. But a need in the daytime and a necessity in the nighttime. And she does not wear color for color. She does not do anything that people try to come and marry her. She does not wear kahol all that time. But maybe she is in her heart, she's happy. We're not saying she has to be sad in her heart. That's different. But she does not do anything that would be attractive. She does not wear perfume. She does not wear the kahol. She does not wear jewelry even. And only she goes outside when there's a need for her to go. And in the daytime. And in the nighttime she can go if there's a necessity. But otherwise she tries to, you know, little bit isolate herself until that time is over. And then she can kneel.
Talking about that, there's some places. There's fasting for when a person dies and wear black, women wear black. Is this something that you know,
Yeah, they wear black and they say do not go outside in the street in the full moon night because the moon is a man. You'll be talking to a man.
No, we're talking about black color.
Huh?
The color black.
Black color is not the black, the color of mourning. It's not like the color. But do not wear anything that is color attraction. She can wear black, she can wear blue, anything that is not an attractive color. No, that is coming into the innovation. Into the innovation is going towards innovation now. Only black. If you don't wear black, Allahu Akbar.
Black or brown?
Yeah, people will be mad at you. And they say you do not love the deceased. That is now getting more for the restriction, putting restriction on the freedom of the people.
But wearing black just to prevent yourself from being attracted. Okay, but if you wear black, as you say, just make it a custom, but for 30 days, 60 days, and then.
And then the custom, like when you go to Syria, the custom of the woman, there was a black abaya.
Yeah,
but she's in black. Yes, that's the custom there.
Not for different things, for mourning.
Yeah, the custom over there to wear the black. And this issue of the custom, sometimes it's challenged because this custom now is putting a lot of restriction on the people. Even though it's not against, but restricting the people in such a way that Allah is making it easy. God is custom is making it difficult for us. So it's coming again. Yuridullahu bikum al-yusra wa la yuridu bikum al-usra. So here where it comes against the religious and business aspect. This custom is really making it very hard on the people. And that comes and things go around and change. But the sunnah is, as we were talking about, when people are used to do something, it's not against the sunnah. Like, we do not have to change it. In the old days, people used to wear the same. We do not have to wear the same thing, because that is not good as an act of worship. Now we have different things to wear. As long as those things fit the Islamic criteria. We do not look like after the disbelievers, they're not tight on our body. It could be a soul, it could be the Pakistani style clothing. Go to Yemen, the custom is to practice night. So if you go to Pakistan, you can wear the Pakistani clothing. Easy. Go to Yemen, wear whatever is customary over there. Wear, go to Arabia, wear whatever is customary. So you are with the people. Yes, we'll stick out like a sore thumb. وهذا صلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.